Okay, so if we have this disease and we have all of the science and everything going into it, how quickly does that disease or did the citrus greening amongst the others that you talk about, how quick does that kind of make its way through the groves of Florida?
Yeah, and I think it's compounding faster in the last few years, which kind of surprised me. But it started in South Florida. So just like you said, typically it came in on the bug came in on a boat, and then it slowly spread and multiplied its way up. So a lot of the worst damage you see, because it's been more years, is south, and it took longer to get to the north. In fact, the citrus growing up in North Florida and Georgia, they've got a little bit of they've have a few psyllids, but it's not affecting them yet as far as agronomy. I mean, they're growing. So it's as you well know, you've been up there. But yeah, it was a slow process, but now it's kind of just everywhere. It really doesn't matter if you're from Lake County, Florida, you know, north central down, there's just dead groves everywhere.
Yeah, and which is another great point because as you drive through Florida, if you didn't know any better, matter of fact, I've had some people drive through Florida that were visiting from Orlando that would drive to my house. Now I'm on the Gulf side here as Brad and I live close to the Gulf here on the west side of Florida. But as people drive through that are from other places, they always tell me they're like, "Man, a lot of those orange groves are just look like they're dying, like they gave up on them." And to the average, you know, person, they might not know that those no one gave up on those trees. Those trees were infected. And it happens pretty quickly that the grower just can't, you know, can't afford or can't keep up with the fact that those trees are not producing as much fruit or any fruit at all. And it takes a lot to make sure those things are in good health. So when you the next time you're driving down the road and you see an orange grove that you know is covered in weeds and there's a lot of old dead wood on there, that's probably not someone just giving up on the farm. That's the farm probably, you know, going under because of this issue, right?
Yeah, nobody's given up. The production is so low. If you can grow quality citrus today, it's a gold mine. You know what it is worth if you can grow a quality Florida piece of citrus. So none of them gave up. They just ran out of money. I mean, they just went as far as they could go, and a lot of them now they're kind of their last dying, not dying, but their last effort is this new therapy we got. That we're trying, and hopefully, I'm not a big fan of it, but hopefully, some growers think it's doing great. Some of them don't like it. Some are neutral. So we didn't really get a good look at it. We won't get a good look at it this season because a lot of the fruit that it may have prevented from falling this fall was knocked off by the hurricane. So in my world of wanting to see how that was going to work, we got to wait another season. So.
And so, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, basically, here's where we are, right? Where we are is the industry in Florida, and if not, you know, Texas and California, the same thing, right? Production is not through the roof there either. Production globally seems to be just down. Certainly in the U.S., it seems to be down, and California doesn't deal with hurricanes, so but they dealt with other things. Historically, I mean, biblically, you know, biblical type of storms that California's had in the last two winters, they pay the price for that. Places like Texas have gone extremely wet and cold and dry, and then you know they get really hot. If you remember in the news, for those who remember seeing Texas was frozen for a couple of weeks two winters ago. Those little things, right, Brad? Those little tiny events to us as humans, which may look catastrophic, right? When you look on TV and you see places like Texas and Florida that are dealing with frost, we don't deal well with that, right? We're not built like the Midwest. If there's frost on the road in Texas, there's no salt trucks to go out, right? There's no snow plow or anything like that. As bad as it is for us as humans to deal with those types of weather patterns, crops do it so much slower, right? Okay. They don't, like I said, 2 months ago, it looked like we had a decent citrus crop out there. I was walking fields, and I would certainly want to get to this treatment that we're talking about, but there was a lot of treated trees that looked good, that mm-hmm. had a good chunk of citrus on them. But just goes to show, you know, I always like to point out how slow plants and trees are to react to certain factors. Even in, like, right now, you look at strawberries and tomatoes around the state of Florida. I thought those things were going to be wiped out from Milton. And some of them were. There's some pretty ugly looking farms. However, some of that production has come back and it's been amazing. So as Mother Nature can completely destroy crops, plants are incredibly resilient. We're incredibly crafty growers, agronomists, agriculturists. The industry is very quick. We can remedy problems really well. One of those for citrus is, and I'll let you talk about this, but is basically an injection into the bark of a citrus tree, correct?
Yeah, it's a oxytetracycline. So it's humans take it, but they are, so they physically drill a hole in the trunk of the tree, and then they have an apparatus that will pop into that hole that has pressure applied to it, and slowly over a half hour, it injects this OTC into the tree, and they have shown some results that it will kill the bacterium. It's not a perfect science. Sometimes it works on one side of the tree and not the other. So there's a lot of, and it's expensive. It's very labor intensive, but that's kind of the latest therapy. This is the latest thing they're doing in the industry while we're working on whatever variety that the scientists can come up with, or new scion variety that can withstand greening. So we can just go back to growing the way we always have and grow a green tree that'll give us a piece of fruit we can eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of where we are.
Yeah. So you mentioned it's costly to the grower who's already experiencing severe declines in production, which is severe declines in farm gate value. So you've got a farmer, you got a grower that is already stressed economically and everything else, right? Mentally, physically, economically. And now you've got this treatment that shows promise, but it is labor intensive and it is cost prohibitive for a lot of smaller growers. They just can't afford to do it. What does it cost? Is it per acre? Is it per tree?
Per tree, but it gets up there into the $200-$300 per acre, and that just depends on your tree count, you know, how dense you are. But yeah, what you said just a second ago is, and it was my biggest fear 2 years ago when this was happening, and I talked to growers about it. So their budgets are so tight. I mean, everybody's going broke. We were throwing so much money at everything for the last 10 or 15 years. So what has happened essentially is that money's got to come from somewhere. There's a little bit of help, governmental help, I guess. So what most of them have done is they've had to cut back on something, and it always ends up being fertility. So they're cutting out some foliar sprays, or they're going to a cheaper grade of fertilizer. And even at IFAS, they've talked about this. I mean, to me, that's kind of the nail in the coffin. But they don't know what to do. They can't afford to do it all. So it's a really bad time in citrus industry because this therapy is not a silver bullet, and they don't claim it to be a silver bullet. It's just, they got to do something till they come up with the next silver, whatever the silver bullet they think is going to be, which is
a new tree. Yeah. And it's really, so for everybody listening, look, you know, sometimes there's a misconception that farmers are just wealthy people, right? Like they got money. And I think everyone sees the big trucks and they see the land and they see all the things. Most people don't understand. And it's no fault of their own, right? If you don't do it and you've never done it, you wouldn't know. But these guys are in real trouble. As an industry, as a whole, from California to Florida and everything in between, for all of us, if we don't grow these trees, if we don't grow these fruits, someone else in the world will. And to me, it's, you know, I hate to be like a, I'm not fear mongering or anything, but really it is like a, it's like national security.
Yeah.
We have to do something to protect our food supply. And I don't know about all of you, but I would much rather eat an orange or an avocado or an apple or a tomato that was grown in Texas, California, or Florida, or anywhere in between versus going overseas for them. Look, I get it. They grow a lot of great crops all over the world. Food security is a thing, and it worries me. I do feel for the growers that you see and that Brad and I talk to every day. I mean, we sell to these growers. We sell nutrients to these growers. We sell solutions. And it's getting more and more difficult to have these questions because a lot of times, and I'm sure you've heard the same thing, Brad, is, you know, guys will tell me, Nick, I don't know if I'll be in business next season. Yeah. And that's just heartbreaking for a country that was built on agriculture. You know, technology seemed to take over the headlines nowadays. This country was built on agriculture. And I think it's just really interesting how we're dealing with these things. At the same time, excuse me, there's a ton of opportunity. There's a ton of upside to agriculture in the U.S. There's a lot of new things on the horizon that aren't, you know, tetracycline injections into trees. And Brad and I are going to certainly talk about that. You know, we don't have the time today to dig into all of the new technologies that are out there. But Brad, if you could, maybe what's the next phase here, right? So we talked about where we were 15, 20 years ago, 200 plus million cases of citrus. We've seen the decline with multiple pests and disease. Now we're going to probably in a phase right now, a cycle of some really bad weather, some really difficult times for some of these growers as far as, you know, hot and cold and hurricanes and things like that. And that's where we are today, right? We're dealing with this disease and citrus greening. I think just about every university in Florida, for sure, but every university in the world right now is looking at this disease. Everybody who has a stake in the game is looking at this disease on ways to combat it. So I think there will be some solutions. I'm not sure how quick they'll be. Genetic solutions are really slow. If we're going to genetically modify a tree, I was in genetic research for years. That's not a quick fix. So
yeah.
Thanks everybody for jumping on with us. We look forward to talking to you again here very shortly, probably another week or so. And if we have one launched before that, you'll certainly be the first to know. But like I said, check us out. We're on Facebook, greengenefoundation.org. We're on Facebook. We're on TikTok. I believe, Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we have an Instagram channel. I don't know.
I think so.
But if you want to learn more about us, you can find us on the internet, greengenefoundation.org. If you just click on the podcast button there, there's a sign-up form for our email subscriber list. If you jump on there, we're not going to spam you. We have nothing to sell you. So all we're going to do is let you know when Brad, Logan, and I will be back on the Modern Farming Podcast. Until then, be well, and we look forward to seeing everybody soon.
Y'all take care.